Okay, today we're going to continue our little series on the victor, the overcomer, and today's message is the victor's walk, the victor's walk. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the victor's self-image. Kind of going to recap that just a little bit. And friend, you here sitting today might have messed up pretty badly in the past, in things that you said, and things that you did, and thoughts that you thought. And maybe this has shattered your self-image. But to be a victor and overcomer in life, you have got to see yourself as God sees you. You know, when you placed faith in Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, be my Savior, all of your sins up until that point were forgiven and forgotten by God. You know, the blood of Jesus erased and wiped away all of your sins. You see, when you placed faith in Jesus and said, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord, you were justified, made righteous before God. And when you think of the word justified, think of this. Just as if I had never sinned. This is the way God sees you. He sees you as justified. This is the way you've got to see yourself. And you know, after having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you may mess up again. You may get weak. You may slip into some sin. And when that happens, what do you do? According to 1 John 1:9, confess your sin to God. He is faithful and just. He'll forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Say it with me today. I am justified. Just as if I had never sinned. In Jesus' name. Okay, here's the point I want to make today. That from the point you accepted Jesus as your Savior, till the point that you step into eternity, there will be a span of time. Should I say it again? From the point that you accepted Jesus as your Savior, till you step into eternity, there will be a span of time for you here on this earth. It may be 10 years. It may be 20 years, it may be 30, it may be 40 years or more on this earth. And in those years on this earth, while following Jesus Christ, we need to live righteously. We need to live holy lives. Lives set apart unto God. Lives that are separate from the world and its ways. You know, friends, we cannot be flirting with the world and its ways. See, as I said earlier, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you received the gift of righteousness. All of your sins were forgiven by God. But after accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, you've got to practice the walk of righteousness. The walk of holiness. So today the distinction is this. The distinction between the gift of righteousness and the walk of righteousness. So today we're going to be talking about the walk of righteousness after having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, if this room were pitch dark, say 12 o'clock midnight, imagine that, okay? You can see that picture, right? Pitch dark room. If I were to come into this room at 12 o'clock midnight and flip on the switch, the darkness does what? It immediately disappears. Darkness and light cannot coexist. Friends, it's the same way with God. Just as darkness cannot exist in the presence of light, sin cannot exist in the presence of a holy and righteous God. He is pure. He is sinless. He is spotless. He is a holy God that we serve. Now, in the Old Testament, God commands the Israelites to live holy lives. In Leviticus 11:44, God says this, "Be ye therefore holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy." And then he repeats the same thought throughout Leviticus two or three times. "Be ye therefore holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy." You might want to open with me today to 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16. Peter, in his epistle, reiterates this same idea of holiness, practicing the walk of righteousness. 1 Peter 1:15. This is what it says. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. What does Paul the Apostle write in Ephesians 5:1? What does he say? He says, be ye therefore imitators of God. If the God we serve is a holy God and we're to imitate Him, that means that we need to live holy lives. We need to practice the walk of righteousness, friends. It's a very important part of the gospel message. Jesus, in different words, says the same thing in His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is what He says. Matthew 7:13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Friends, as believers in Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to avoid Broadway. We're to walk the narrow walk. This is the walk which leads to eternal life. Say it with me today. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I am going to avoid Broadway and follow the narrow path. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, friends, we've got to make a strong attempt. We need to fight, if you would, to live holy lives. Say that again. We have got to make a strong attempt. We have got to fight, if you would, to live holy lives. Some of you may have heard about this little animal called the ermine. It's kind of got a rich, dark fur on the outside, and kind of a white fur down beneath its belly. It's an ermine. In North America, it's called a short-tailed weasel. Did you kind of see that picture there? Little animal. It's a weasel. All right? And it's found mostly in cold atmospheres up north. All right? And the ermine's coat is a rich medium brown with an off-white belly. In winter, the coat is thicker, and in regions that experience an inch or more of snow for at least 40 days of the year, the color changes to a clean white. And let me tell you something about the ermine, this weasel. This weasel is proud of its white undercoat, its pure white undercoat. Now listen to this. This is really interesting. In the Renaissance era, legend had it that an ermine would die before allowing its pure white coat to be soiled. When it was being chased by hunters, it would supposedly turn around and give itself up to the hunters rather than risk soiling itself. That's amazing, isn't it? That this ermine would fight to the death to keep its white fur pure. And friends, I don't want to be put to shame by a weasel. How about you? We need to fight for holiness. We've got to live lives righteously before God. Amen? If an ermine can do it, if a little weasel can do it, to keep itself pure, to keep its fur white, so can we fight to live pure lives before God. Amen? All right. Areas of our lives in which we can practice the walk of righteousness, of holiness. Number one, in our thoughts. You know, in your thoughts, you can either bow to the world's way of thinking, or you can think righteous thoughts. Should I say it again? In your thoughts, you can either bow to the world's way of thinking, or you can think righteous thoughts. Now, how does the world think? They think wrong. They think impure thoughts. They think wrong thoughts. And, you know, maybe some of us men struggle with this. Say that a beautiful and gorgeous woman is walking down the street. She's walking down the street and your eyes follow. Right? Some people will start thinking lustfully. So what do you do at that point? You shift your eyes to the left. So if she's walking this way, you start looking this way, the opposite way. You shift your eyes. Job wrote in Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. I'll look at them purely. I'll look at them like my sister. That's the way we've got to look at them, friends. Like our sisters. How else does the world think? The world thinks in terms of anger and bitterness and revenge. Getting even. This person did me wrong. This person offended me, so I'm going to get even. That's wrong, friends. That's the world's way of thinking. We should not be thinking like that as followers of Jesus Christ. As followers of Jesus Christ, we should be thinking thoughts of forgiveness, releasing the person of the debt, letting it go in Jesus' name. You know, a couple of weeks back, and I was ministering at one of the shelters here in downtown Tulsa. And normally on Friday nights, I'm at this shelter with some other volunteers from the church. And I kid you not, friends, there's this one guy that comes up to me at the shelter. And he's just angry on his face. And just follows me to where I was and starts talking to me about this person who years ago did something wrong to him. And that's all this individual was talking about, how this person wronged him. I can't believe they did what they did. And I tried to get away from this guy. So I walked to the other side of the room there at the shelter, and he followed me. And he continued talking to me about this person and how this person offended him. It's like, my goodness, this person was totally eaten up by bitterness. On the inside, he was consumed with anger and unforgiveness. It's so sad. Using his mental energy and his time to think about this one incident. Later on, I was sharing with a group about this person that I met at the shelter. And this lady who used to live on the street said this to me. She said, Jonathan, you wouldn't believe it. I've known this guy since the early 90s. And since the early 90s, he's been talking about that person that wronged him in that way. Could you imagine day and night thinking about the person who wronged you in some way for 16, 17, 18 years? That's unbelievable. Let's not use our time that way, friends. You know, as I said, as believers, we should be thinking thoughts of forgiveness, release, letting it go in Jesus' name. We should be thinking Philippians 4:8 thoughts. Let's turn to Philippians 4:8. Talking about righteous thoughts. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do what? Think on such things. There's a whole lot of goodness in that verse. Would you agree? Whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, praiseworthy, consume your mind with those thoughts. Godly thoughts. And friend, I'm here to tell you today, like that man at the other shelter, you may have a lot of time on your hands. You may have a lot of time on your hands. My word of encouragement to you is this. Instead of using your time and mental energy unproductively, start using it productively by getting into God's Word. Reading God's Word. Meditating on God's Word. Taking notes on God's Word. Because as you get into the Word of God and you study it, and you meditate on it, then God's thoughts start becoming your thoughts. And God's thoughts are holy, they're pure, they're praiseworthy, they're admirable, but you've got to be getting into the Word of God. You've got to crack the book. And when you do that, the thoughts of Almighty God become your thoughts. You know, you may be trying to think pure thoughts and holy thoughts, but you may slip at times. You may get weak. And when you get weak, use your time to pray to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I pray that you give me the strength to think pure thoughts, holy thoughts, righteous thoughts that you think according to your word. Amen? Amen. Practicing the walk of righteousness with your body. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:19 that your body is a temple of God. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, he then writes that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Could you believe it, friend? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God took up residence on the inside of you, in your spirit. You know, just a few months ago, I went to New York. A lot of family out there in the New York area. And I have an uncle who smoked for 40 years plus. Remember growing up, he smoked like a chimney, friend. Cigarette after cigarette. After cigarette. Earlier this year, he was diagnosed with lung cancer and tumors on his brain. And so basically, he got the report from the doctors that his life was going to end earlier than expected. He's like 70, 71. To me, that's fairly young. I kid you not, he told me after he received that report from the doctors, he quit smoking like cold turkey. He stopped it immediately. And He's told me he's made his peace with God and he believes in Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you today, if you were to receive a report that your life was going to end soon because of the addiction, how quickly would you quit? God forbid, if you were to receive a report that your life was going to end soon because of the addiction to drugs or cigarettes or alcohol, how quickly would you quit? Friend, you've got to quit before it's too late. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Almighty God lives on the inside of you and me. Stop with the addictions before it's too late. I'm here to tell you today, friends, that life is a precious gift from God. Your physical body is a precious gift from God. Treat it that way. You know, if you had $1 million worth of gold in your possession, how careful would you be with it? I'd be really careful if I had $1 million worth of gold in my possession. Well, guess what? Your body, your life is worth so much more than $1 million to God. Your life is of infinite worth to the God who created us, and treat it that way. Away with the addictions in Jesus' name. God can give you the power over it. There's courses that you can take. They advertise them here in downtown Tulsa. You have an addiction? Call this number. There's things you can do to stop. I want to talk about practicing the walk of righteousness with your human spirit. You can either open your spirit to the unclean or walk righteously in this area. All of us like to know about our futures. How many here like to know about our futures? We all do, right? Will I be making more money in the future? Will I be pursuing the career I want to pursue in the future? You know, will I be out of this shelter next year? Will I have a better mode of transportation in the future? Will I marry somebody who really loves me in the future? We want to know about what our futures hold, right? We want to know the right steps to take in our futures. You know, it's sad, friends, that a lot of people, when they want to find out about their future, guess who they go to? They go to the unclean. Some go to horoscopes. I know of a Christian that was talking this way to me at some point in the past, and I was shocked. He was like, Jonathan, I read my horoscope every so often to kind of get direction. And he supposedly is a Christian. Some people go to fortune tellers or palm readers. You know, some people at Chinese restaurants. You know, and I'm at fault for this. You know, they get their bill at the end of the meal at the Chinese restaurant, the Chinese buffet. And with that bill is what? It's a fortune cookie. You know, and sometimes I get a little curious myself. And man, I just can't wait to open that fortune cookie, crack it, and see what word of wisdom is there for me. But you know what? I'm preaching to myself today too. Away with the fortune cookies, right? Away with the fortune tellers. Away with the palm readers and all the unclean. If you really want to know what your future holds, don't open your life up to the unclean. Open your life up to the Spirit of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit. God knows your life from the beginning into eternity. Ask Him, say, God, what does my life hold for me? God, what do You have in plan for me with my life? He'll speak to you in your spirit. If He gives you the green light, you'll have a peace on the inside. God is saying, walk this way. This is the way I want you to go. If he's telling you, no, I'm giving you the red light, don't go that way, you won't have any peace on the inside. Follow the Spirit of God speaking to your human spirit. A lot of times, God will speak to you through his written word. Amen? You know, if you open your spirit to the unclean, you're opening a door for the enemy to wreak havoc in your life. Say it with me today. I'm only opening myself to the Holy Spirit of God for future direction. I am going to walk righteously concerning my spirit man. In Jesus' name, amen. How can we practice the walk of righteousness with our words? We can either talk like the world or talk like Jesus. Turn to Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. Paul writes, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Here's the key. What you think about on a continual basis, you will eventually talk about. What did Jesus say in Matthew 12:34? He said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What you put deep down on the inside and what you think about eventually will make its way towards the outside. Out of your what? Out of your mouth. So start thinking about what God thinks about in his word, and you'll begin talking like God. Your language will be cleaned up. Amen? You might be thinking today, Jonathan, that's easier said than done. It's so difficult to practice righteous living, holy living. It's easier said than done, Jonathan. But you know what, friends? With God, all things are possible. Look at 2 Corinthians to close it off. Chapter 12. Paul was talking about his thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Friend, when you get weak with your words and what you do with your body, with your spirit, and the thoughts that you think, when you get weak, start praying to God and say, "God, I can't do this on my own. And in your weakness, God's strength will be made evident." But it's resting, trusting, and relying on the power of God. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that God has got your back. You're not in this walk all alone. God is right there beside you. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, and it will strengthen you to walk righteously, to live holy as God is holy. Practicing the walk of righteousness. Amen?